You're listening to Soundwise Podcast, a show hosted by Alex in Serbia and Vlada in Poland.
Each week we cover a different artist or band and engage in an open and spontaneous debate and discussion about specific parts of their discographies. Our goal is to expand our musical horizons and cover a great range of artists and styles.
Find us on Patreon, patreon.com/soundwisepod, and social media at soundwisepod.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Soundwise Podcast. Unfortunately, today we are doing an episode in the wake of a big tragedy for the world of rock music. Eddie Van Halen, one of the most prominent figures in rock music and one of the most revolutionary, legendary guitar players, has passed away. So today we're going to try to shed some light on his career and his legacy, and hopefully, to those uninitiated, show why he was so important and so integral to rock music of the 70s and 80s in particular. So, Alexander, how are you doing today?
Hey, Vlad, I'm doing really well. Yes, this is a sad episode, but it's good to reflect on one's career. I've never been a fan of Van Halen, I have to be honest, but it was a good opportunity now to discover his catalog.
Indeed, and this is what I'm really interested to know, just how you're going to feel about this music and these albums and whether you're going to find something exciting in Eddie's music, since, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you're very familiar with their opus.
No, I'm not. So this is a discovery for me, and I'm really, you know, happy to share my thoughts with you. So shall we go straight to the records, or do you want to share some info about Eddie and the whole group?
Yes, I would like to say a few words about the group itself. So Van Halen was essentially founded by brothers Van Halen, immigrants from the Netherlands, interestingly enough. They came to the U.S. when they were, I think, 12 years old, Alex and Eddie Van Halen. And that's a very interesting story, because when they arrived, they didn't know language. And also because of their mixed racial background, their mother being from Indonesia and their father being Dutch, they had a lot of problems adjusting to the American societies, adopting to the way of life there. But then the music was one thing that really saved them, where they sought refuge. And the interesting thing is that nowadays everybody knows Eddie Van Halen as a legendary guitar player, but initially he wanted to play drums while his brother Alex wanted to play the guitar. But what happened was, when the older Eddie was at school, Alex would often play his drums. And once he caught him doing that, and then he just simply decided, okay, you can have my drums and I'll pick up the guitar, right? And the rest, as they say, is legendary, right? What followed. So the band itself was founded in 1972, and they went through several lineup changes, trying different singers, until they settled with David Lee Roth. Now, initially, he was the guy that they would rent their equipment from. And so they decided to just let him into the band, because that way they wouldn't have to pay for the equipment. This is such a bizarre story, especially knowing how important David Lee Roth was for the overall sound of Van Halen. And he was a huge star in his own right, just like Eddie. So this is one of those unbelievable stories when all the stars align and these people find one another somehow. But don't get me wrong, behind their success, there was a lot of hard work and years of constant rehearsal, years of grinding out. And the band finally got signed in 1977. I even think that they were initially spotted by Gene Simmons from Kiss, and he wanted to do some work with them. But eventually it was Tad Templeton that got them in the studio, the famous producer, and he produced some of their most well-known records, as we're going to see later on. Another interesting thing about Eddie, we can honestly say without any doubt, it's just the objective truth, that Eddie Van Halen with his playing has totally transformed the way rock guitar was seen. You know, he did things with his guitar that were unheard of at the time. And he was basically a prodigy. There's a story that Eddie, as a young boy, 14, 15 year old, that he could already play the entire opus of Eric Clapton's. Imagine at that age, he was already capable of doing that. And then, of course, once he reached the maturity, he had a very distinctive style that took the world by storm. So this is something we're going to emphasize, I think, during our reviews and our discussions. So Van Halen, from then on, went through some changes. David Lee Roth, unfortunately, left the band in 1984, 1985. But some people actually think that that was a good change, as the guy who stepped in was Sammy Hagar, another veteran, another great singer who was on the scene even before Van Halen emerged. He was with a famous hard rock band called Montrose and had a very successful solo career prior to joining the band. So for some people, he's almost an upgrade of sorts, but there's a lot of discussion about that. There are people who are squarely into David Lee Roth's period, who support David Lee Roth as the true voice of Van Halen. And then you have people who are more inclined to emphasize Hagar's era. They call the band from that era Van Hagar. So that's another thing. This is a very interesting split. For that reason, I decided to choose three records, two recorded with David Lee Roth on vocals and one with Sammy Hagar. So we're going to discuss how they feel differently, and I hope you have much to add to that. So without further ado, let's get to their, now we can say, revolutionary debut album. So before I start praising it any further, I want to know your opinion. I want to know what you think about this record, whether you listen to it with fresh ears, how does it feel at this time, in this age, for somebody who is not that experienced when it comes to Van Halen?
Yes, I listened to it with a pair of fresh ears. And the first time that I listened to it, I wasn't that impressed. I had three key points. So one, I thought that this band sounded like a somewhat heavy AOR band. Then the second point is that the solos are very prominent here, guitar solos in particular. And the third kind of point was that I liked the songs that were more experimental. But after the second listen, I kind of changed my opinion and I realized that this album is actually pretty good. First that I like about it is the punk, is the punchy and energetic element of it. All the instruments here are very good. Also the singing. And the third point from my first take is still here, the experimentation with some songs. So I kind of changed my opinion quickly. And yes, I thought that this album had a lot to offer from start to finish, to be honest. You know, for example, I like the song Atomic Punk, which is, you know, as the title says it, it's punky. But then we have the 10th track, Ice Cream Man, which has this rockabilly kind of feeling. So a really diverse album, if I may say, Vlada.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the thing about this record, I like how at first you might have not thought much of it, but then it slowly started to reveal itself. Now that may not be everybody's reaction, because when I first heard this, I was just floored with his guitar playing. To be fair, when it comes to songs themselves, there were some, of course, that immediately grabbed my attention, but it was more the guitar playing itself that grabbed me.
Good point.
So, you know, when it comes to other records, AOR, as you said, or hard rock, more radio-friendly hard rock from that era, you can clearly tell that this is something else, right? Even though it follows some of those let's say, tropes that those other records have. It's just more exciting. It just scorches everything in its path, you know. It's explosive, and just the opening is amazing, you know, like with Running with the Devil. That track alone immediately states this band's purpose, and it is clear right from the start that you're dealing with something new, different, exciting. Nowadays, it's maybe easy to overlook that because we've heard this sound on other records, right? But back then, just compare this to the Survivor records we did from the same period. What do you think?
Yeah, a clear difference. And, you know, if I were to describe one thing that's better here, that would be the statement that this album leaves compared to, you know, Survivor records, any Survivor record, to be honest.
I mean, I just mentioned Survivor because if I remember correctly, their debut album came around the same time, right? And that record in itself is nothing to... It's not bad, it's not great, it's just okay. But it reflects perfectly the sound of the time, especially when it comes to hard rock music. But then compare that sound to this Van Halen record. It's night and day, wouldn't you say?
Totally agree, man. And yes, you made a good point that this album is all about the instruments, the guitar in particular. But I thought the whole lineup was great here. The song You Really Got Me has a great bass line. So yes, and overall, instrumentally speaking, a great record. The song's not so much, I would say. And I just found out that the song that I mentioned, Ice Cream Man, is not originally by Van Halen. It's a cover, but they surely did it well.
Yeah, and You Got Me is, of course, the cover of the Kinks, the legendary Kinks from England. And you know, when it comes to songs, what I meant was that initially, if it's your first time listening, you may not be so floored by the songwriting as much as you would be by the sheer excitement of hearing Eddie Van Halen for the first time. But the songs are actually amazingly well crafted. Take, for instance, Running with the Devil. It has everything that a perfect hard rock song needs to have. You know, this slow burning groove, a very confident vocal delivery. I have to say, David Lee Roth is just amazing on this record. And then it kicks into the chorus where you have the backing vocals, and this, it's not just, you know, the band has a really good melodic sensibility. It's not just rocking out there. You know, they really know how to craft poppy hooks, how to get you hooked from the get-go. And of course, then once Eddie starts soloing, it's like you are completely sold on this band. At that moment, you're completely sold. And then they follow in a similar way, you know, with, of course, Eruption and instrumental display by Eddie. Nowadays, a lot of guitar players can play Eruption. You find videos on YouTube, people doing it. But at this time, nobody had done anything like it. Eruption really sounded like Eruption. There's so many stories from people who grew up in that era that when they first heard Eruption, they just couldn't believe their ears. They thought that it was just something else, that they couldn't fathom that a human could play like that. So if you wonder why there is this sudden flurry of notes and explosions, musical explosion of sorts, it's simply a statement that, hey, I am your new guitar hero. I'm your new guitar god here. Even though I'm pretty sure Eddie was humble enough not to think those things or state them, but in a way, this instrumental speaks for himself.
And he let his playing do the talking, right?
Exactly, yes. And then, I mean, I can't find many flaws with these record. I think it's great from start to finish. But of course, another song that I would definitely single out is Van Halen's trademark song, Ain't Talking About Love. Just that riff alone, that's, to this day, I struggle to find another hard rock riff with so much potency, with so much intensity. You know, the way it drives the song, you know, it keeps you very, it keeps the whole thing going. You know, it almost feels like the song is about to collapse at any moment because it's so intense, but it keeps going and going, and it keeps getting more and more visceral as it goes on. So pretty amazing. So Alex, what about you? What are your highlights here?
So as I said, the instruments here, I thought the whole lineup was great. Also these cover versions, pretty good. I have yet to discover the original ones, but I, you know, these versions are alone, you know, can stand on their own, I would say. And the singing as well. That I think that will be an interesting debate later on during this episode, because we also have a record where David Lee Roth is not the singer. So that will be interesting to hear. Vlada, shall we now do the ratings and pick our standout tracks?
For sure. So I have to say, I think this is an absolute classic, one of those records that everyone should have in their collection, whether it's your mom or grandmother or your daughter or your son or your grandson. Everybody should enjoy this record.
Across all generations.
Exactly. So I'll give it a 9. I think that it's not a perfect 10 for the sole reason that with Van Halen, I feel like they always miss that. Like, they're not a pretentious band. They were very innovative, particularly Eddie, but they were not pretentious. And I feel like sometimes that's what's missing to take them to a higher plane, you know. So that's the only reason why I would give it 9 rather than 10. I'm sure many people will disagree with me. Many people think this is an absolutely perfect record, and they are completely justified to think that way, because there's really nothing wrong with this record. What about you? What do you say?
To be honest, this is not exactly my kind of music, but it was nice to discover, and it was nice to kind of learn history about it, not least because you all just told us that they were the first ones to produce this kind of music. I will give it a 7 out of 10 instead. I'm really glad that my second take kind of changed my opinion and that I could spot positives here. So a 7 out of 10 and a lot of good tracks here. I will pick You Really Got Me.
All right. And my highlight would be I Think Ain't Talking About Love, even though it's hard to choose the best track here, Running With The Devil. So many classic tracks. I honestly think that 7 is too low for a record this great and this intense. But, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, even when it's wrong.
Well, it's all about opinions, Vlada.
Yes, so dear listeners, if you dig Van Halen, please forgive my dear Alexander. He doesn't know what he's talking about, so
maybe a new metal record would
Generation Z or whatever they're called. They can't stand hard rock. There's too much soy in their milk or something.
It's so overplayed.
All right, of course, I'm just joking. We all have preferences, but let's move on to the next record here. And now it was very difficult for me to choose 3 records, and I had to skip some really great records, especially I just want to point out that Fair Warning, which is, I think, their 3rd record, might be my favorite Van Halen record ever. So check that one out, too. It's simply stunning the way Eddie plays on that one, the way he experiments with sounds. But I decided that we should do 1984, the last record with David Lee Roth, because I feel that that was also their greatest commercial success. And that record has several very memorable tunes that most of the general population, I guess, is familiar with. So, Alexander, I want to ask you about your opinion first. So, what do you think? How did the band mature between the first record and this one?
Okay. First, I have to point out the album cover here. It's really cool. It features a baby angel with a cigarette, which is cool. This album, to me, started off poorly, but I kind of kept listening to it, obviously, and discovered that the other half of the album has some good tracks. Jump is probably the most well-known Van Halen song that I ever heard, you know, that recognizable riff on the synth. But to be honest, the first three tracks, you know, 1984, Jump, and Panama, not my kind of thing, to put it mildly. But the rest, you know, as you go on and listen to the tracks, you get some, you know, better vibes, so to say, Vlada.
All right, but please tell me. Okay, I can get Jump. I didn't like Jump when I was younger because it has that repetitive keyboard part and all that. Sounds a bit too commercial, too slick, even though I have changed my opinion about it, which I will get to in a minute. But for the love of me, tell me, please, what's wrong with Panama? Just what's wrong with that track? Please tell me.
To be honest, I listened to it multiple times. I tried to get to it, to get into it, sorry. But something is just not working there, to be honest. I just prefer other songs like Hot for Teacher or House of Pain. Panama, I don't know. I see that it's one of the highlight tracks here, but I just couldn't get into it. For some reason, it just didn't cut it for me, Vlada.
All right, I just have a very different opinion on that one from yours. I think this song might be the absolute highlight of this really consistent record again. Now, this is somewhat controversial because of the inclusion of keyboards, and there's been a lot of discussions among fans, of course, whether the band sold out or not, stuff like that. But to me, this is pretty much very consistent with the previous records in terms of sound. They just added a bit of new flavor, and I think Eddie himself really enjoys playing keyboards and he's good at it. So why not display that side of him as well? And you know, I really love this intro, 1984, you know, with the keyboard workout. It's so, it just segues so perfectly into Jump. And then with Jump, you know, I used to think badly of that track when I wasn't into Van Halen when I was younger and didn't really know their work, to be quite fair. And I never really paid that much attention to what was going on in the song. I would just hear this keyboard and that would annoy me and I just wouldn't listen to it. But if you listen to the track, not only is it super catchy and amazing, like David Lee Roth, he may not be the greatest singer, technically speaking, but he has this kind of ability to draw you in. And this song really shows that. But what I really love is that part when, right before the chorus, there's this transition part with such beautiful guitar playing and the drums. Everything is so in sync and it's such smooth transition. It really shows that these guys had nearly perfect chops, especially for the music that they were doing at that time. So honestly, nowadays, I enjoy hearing this song wherever I go. I love it that it's so popular that you can accidentally stumble upon it. You know, you can hear it at your grocery store, you can hear it in a restaurant, all kinds of places. And I like it. I like it for that reason. I don't think it's overplayed. I think it's a perfectly catchy pop tune, perfect if you like that 80s feel, but it also has some edge to it. But then Panama, that's just like Eddie Van Halen at his best, some beautiful guitar ideas. You know, that's the thing. On surface, these songs may seem, oh, this is AOR or hard, typical commercial hard rock, radio friendly. But then you hear all these small things that Eddie's doing in the background and all these really crazy ideas and riffs that you don't hear anywhere else. And Panama is a perfect example of such songs. And also, again, Lee Roth, brilliant here as well. Really gets you going, really gets you pumped up. The intro, how about that intro? It's just so perfect, especially when it finally goes into that main riff and Alex Van Halen comes in to like picks it up. You know, it's just perfect. So I really don't see any flaws with that one. Now, Top Jimmy is kind of silly a bit. Again, what's really redeeming the track is Addy's playing, of course, but I always felt it was a bit silly. And that's fine. That kind of suits Van Halen, but I think the record would have been stronger if it had a different track there. Drop Dead Legs has a brilliant coda with a guitar workout. So the song is good itself, but then when it reaches the end, there's this really great Van Halen moment. And of course, Hot for Teacher, another hit here. I'm glad you like that one. The lyrics, you know, the thing about the lyrics, what do you think about their lyrical content? I wanted to ask you about that.
Regarding this particular album?
Yeah, for example, this song, Hot for Teacher, but in general, too.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to the lyrics here for some reason. I thought that the music was a redeeming factor yet again, but I don't know. I can't really recall the lyrics here. I may have to search it.
Yeah, that's kind of an answer that makes sense, because to me, Van Halen were never about the lyrics. The lyrics are kind of whimsical, sort of, you know, they suit this kind of high school, maybe early college vibe. But that's fine, because that's what they do best, and they're devoid of pretension in that sense. But what I really appreciate is what's going on behind those lyrics, the energy and the musicianship, you know. And I can't think of any other bands like this. Motley Crue is maybe somewhat similar, but Motley Crue, to be fair, as good musicians as they may be, did not really have such chops. You know, it's very, very different from Van Halen. So,
and Motley Crue were kind of heavier than Van Halen, right?
Maybe somewhat, but you know, the way I see it, if that debut record hadn't come out by Van Halen, there would be no Motley Crue, there would be no 80s hard rock, for better or worse. It would just sound very differently. It might have sounded all like Survivor, you know?
To be honest, at one point, I thought that the previous album that we talked about reminded me just a bit of Metallica.
Oh, that's interesting. In what way? What reminded you of Metallica?
Possibly the atmosphere and some of the punky, you know, some of the punchy and fast-paced tracks reminded me of the album Kill 'Em All.
Which makes perfect sense, right? Because I'm pretty sure Eddie Van Halen's playing was a huge influence on early thrash bands, guitar players like Kirk Hammett especially. So that makes perfect sense to me. This is what Eddie did. He defined shredding, this shredding type of playing. And that's what all these metal guys took and made it their own, you know, in different ways. But without Eddie, they wouldn't be there. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, and now we've finally come to the conclusion, you know, how important and influential Eddie was, right?
Yeah, I mean, it cannot be overstated, because even in the last couple of days, you saw everyone from Jimmy Page to Jack White, everyone was paying their respects to Eddie in very long Facebook posts detailing why he's important, why he mattered. You know, both people who came before him and who were a major influence on his playing, and people who followed in his footsteps, they were all amazed with Eddie Van Halen. So I think that due to the fact that Van Halen's music is often seen as this kind of party type rock, sometimes people tend to forget about that. But now, unfortunately, for this reason that he passed away, we are all reminded how great and how important his legacy was, you know. So I think that's something that we need to celebrate. That's why more people should hear Van Halen's records. More people should experience that excitement. Because no matter how many guitar players picked it up and learned to play in that style and maybe added something of their own, it's impossible to find someone who sounds just like Eddie Van Halen.
Yep, I totally agree. Even though we have seen that I'm not a, you know, a big fan as you are, but, you know, I can still appreciate this kind of output. So, Vladan, if we don't have anything else to add here, shall we now jump to the ratings?
Yes. So, in my opinion, compared to the debut album, you can tell that Eddie has progressed even more as a player. There's some really amazing ideas here. But overall, I don't think the record is as consistent as the debut, so I would give it 8.5. I still think it's a phenomenal record. And generally speaking, all of the early records they did with David Lee Roth really deserve your attention. They're all very consistent and somewhat similar to one another. But if you like one, you will like the rest of them. So 8.5 from me. Highlight for me, Panama, without doubt, a fantastic track.
Okay, I kind of agree with you. I thought that this album wasn't as good as the previous one. My rating is 6 out of 10, and my favorite track here is Hot for Teacher. And by the way, I have in the meantime found the lyrics, and you know, Vlada, you were right. This band wasn't, you know, known for exceptional lyricism, so to say.
Yeah, but it's fine because, I mean, they didn't have pretensions to be, you know, Bob Dylan or something. They just did this party-style rock music, but what made it so special is the musical ideas behind it, which I feel should be celebrated. And having said that, now we're moving to Sammy Hagar era with the record that came right after Jump, 5150. So very interesting. Now, Sammy Hagar was at that time more experienced than Lee Roth, than Van Halen, the band itself. He had a very long career going back to early 70s and his time with Montrose, another great pioneering hard rock band. And I would like to know what you feel about this change. Did you notice anything different in the way the tunes were approached vocally, lyrically, or otherwise?
Yes, definitely. You know, finally we've come to this point of the episode. So, yeah, a new vocalist, Sammy Hagar. His contribution here is, to be honest, one of my main negatives here. I thought that this record was too cheesy. First of all, I thought also that the lyrics, I paid attention to the lyrics, and the same thing, I would say, cheesy and kind of, if I may say, boring. More love ballads, more love songs in general, not so much energy, not so much, you know, punch here. It's kind of softer. I like the album cover, which looks like a borderline heavy metal album cover, but the, you know, the content here is not really heavy metal. Yeah, to be honest, in one way, I think that this album is kind of forgettable, and it will be, you know, difficult to pick any highlights. But in particular, if you ask me about the new vocalist, Sammy, I thought that he, you know, wasn't, in my opinion, this may be totally subjective, but in my opinion, he's not as good as the previous, you know, the previous vocalist. So a downgrade in that area.
Look, I think that you make some really valid points here, because I always had trouble listening to this following David Lee Roth's records. And it's not about Sammy himself. Sammy is a wonderful singer. He sounds great throughout the record. But David Lee Roth just had something that really, really matched this band's style so well. And there was some kind of sense of danger that I feel is missing with Sammy Hagar in the fold. And it's not necessarily because Sammy is bad or cheesy or whatever. It's just that David Lee Roth had the right chemistry. Now, having said that, I have to say that even though I initially struggled with this record, and I thought I would give it a very low rating at first, when I listened to it for the second time, some things kind of opened up. Again, I heard some of the things that Eddie was doing, which, again, were a perfect progression from the previous record, Jump, right? And I think there's much to be loved here, but you may have to be a bit more patient, especially if you're used to Lee Roth era. So I can understand why some fans think this is the best record. Maybe they just like this, as you said, softer sound. There's more ballads. There's more of a soulful vibe, something that Hager brings perfectly, and something that I feel Lee Roth cannot quite pull off, but he didn't have to. That's the thing. You know, Hager is probably a better singer in terms of vocal range and everything else, but Lee Roth had the right attitude for this band. That's my opinion. So for me, the real Van Halen, the true Van Halen, will always be the one with David Lee Roth. But having said that, this is not a bad record by any measure. Good Enough is a very energetic opener, I felt. At first, it sounded kind of generic, but when I listened to it for the second time, I really enjoyed all the riffs in the background, all the beautiful playing by Eddie. And then, you know, Why Can't This Be Love is one of those tracks that you could often see on VH1, you know, or channels like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very 80s pop tune. It's a good pop tune, but, you know, it just doesn't quite capture the excitement of this band that we experienced listening to the previous records. But still, I think it's a quality tune for what it is. I don't know if they were actively trying to get a hit or something, because it kind of sounds that way. Like they were really into making a kind of song that would bridge gap between different types of audience, you know, maybe branch out a bit towards the audience that is not necessarily into more hard rocking sound. But then I think from then on, the record really sounds good. You know, Get Up, another interesting track, a good rocker. Dreams, another ballad.
Yeah, but I would say that, you know, you can single out just a few tracks here. You know, Why Can't This Be Love was too cheesy. You know, for example, Love Walks In sounds like, I don't know, sounds like a Christmas song. Sounds like, music from those, you know, films and movies that you can watch, you know, around Christmas at that time, you know.
Okay, what about Best of Both Worlds? I think that might be the highlight here. Especially Van Halen's guitar ideas are just out of this world. You know, like that's the track that really took me back to the stuff that he was doing on 1984, that he was doing on the debut record, on Fair Warning. I think that track really stands out. But the rest, I kind of agree with you. Love Walks In, quite cheesy. 5150, good track again. And then I really liked Inside because they kind of let loose. It just sounds completely different from the rest of the record with this funky groove going. And the band just embracing it and jamming. It sounds like an incidental song, accidental song. Like they didn't really plan doing something like that. And I really like that. I kind of wished, when I first heard it, I kind of wished that they had done the whole record in that style rather than chasing hits. What do you think?
Spot on. Absolutely spot on. Inside is my highlight. It was different from the rest of the record, and actually saved the day for me. Best of Both Worlds, at first, I don't know why, but I was getting some Michael Jackson vibes. I don't know why still, but after giving it a couple of more listens, I realized that it's an okay song. But yeah, Inside, the finishing track, a standout here.
Oh, speaking of Michael Jackson, that's an interesting reference because Eddie played on Michael Jackson's famous hit, Beat It, the famous solo that allegedly he did in a single take. So that's an interesting reference there.
There you go.
Yes. Definitely. I think we can both agree that it's a downgrade from the previous record, that with the departure of David Lee Roth, there's something missing, that the band kind of seems more, let's say, middle-agey. I would say it, yeah. And Sammy Hager was pretty much middle-aged at that time, so it kind of makes sense. Not that I have anything against that. I'm personally very close to being middle-aged, So that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
Speaking of ages, the current lineup of Van Halen consists also of Wolfgang Van Halen, the son of Eddie Van Halen. He is the youngest member here, currently age 29. So that's interesting when it comes to ages, Vlada.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that was quite controversial because he joined the band at the age of 16, replacing Mike Anthony. But the guy is actually a really good player and a very talented musician in his own right. So it's really sad that he lost his dad. And so condolences to Wolfgang, another really great player who contributed later on in Van Halen's career. But yeah, this record, I think, generally is a downgrade. I don't think it's as bad as you think. I think there are some redeeming qualities here, especially when I listen to it the second time. I can say that I quite enjoyed it, that it was a pleasant record, that it still had a lot of those trademark Van Halen sounds. But David Lee Roth, in some ways, is just as important as Eddie's guitar work. Maybe not musically, but just the attitude that he brought to this band. So, but, you know, nowadays, Sammy Hagar is still a really great singer, while Lee Roth is struggling. He can't hit notes. So, of course, he was much more professional musician. Don't get me wrong. It just that with some bands, there's this issue of chemistry. And in that sense, I think Lee Roth was just a better match.
Yeah, and we have to, you know, keep in mind that this band has so far released 12 albums, 12 studio albums. So, you know, it's not really easy to get the impression of the whole band, but we're going to try to cover both eras, you know, the Sammy era and the Lee Roth era, right?
Yes. So before we choose our favorites here and give our grades, just want to say special thanks to our patrons. And special thanks to our patron, Kelly, who suggested immediately after we heard the bad news that we should do Van Halen. So we listened to her advice and we decided to do it. And I think Eddie Van Halen definitely deserved that kind of tribute, even though two of us may disagree about some of this music. But I guess we both agree that Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen as a rock music revolutionary, as a fantastic player, definitely deserves to be praised, to be mentioned alongside the greats such as Jimi Hendrix, for instance, or Eric Clapton or Duane Allman and so on. He's just one of those names and one of those figures that marked the sound of a certain era. So, Alexander, what do you say? What's your final verdict on this record?
Okay, so regarding this record, as I said, didn't really like it. I thought it was a downgrade in many segments. It's kind of forgettable. Yeah, the highlight here is obviously inside the last track. It saved the day, basically. When it comes to the ratings, this will be interesting. I don't really want to upset all the Van Halen fans out there, but my rating is 4.5. And yeah, that's kind of it. A nice album cover, a couple of nice tracks, but the rest of
that's too harsh for this kind of record. My rating personally is 7. I still think this is a good record. It just flawed, just has some issues, you know, with the band basically forging a slightly different sound, but it's still a valuable record in their discography, so definitely not worthy of such a low rating. Alexander, sometimes I'm really shocked by your ratings. Seriously.
Well, to be honest, you were the one that started this trend of giving low ratings, you know, from
yes,
Korn onwards.
To bands that were not legendary pioneers or, you know, like, okay, maybe Korn were pioneers, but not in a good way, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's totally subjective. And by the way, I don't think that this particular record is, you know, the you know, a great example of that pioneering stuff that you're talking about,
for
right?
Sure. I think, okay, some of the playing is, if you want to get into Van Halen, I think you shouldn't start with this record, okay? Start with the debut record, for example, and take it from there. That's the safest path. And then maybe you'll like Van Hager better, who knows? But I just think that for the uninitiated, it's much better to start off from the beginning.
Yes, I would say the same. And guys, if you decide to, you know, pick these albums that we talked about now, if you want to listen to them, please let us know whether you had the same impression, whether you thought that this album was a downgrade or an upgrade or something else. And yeah, I'm sticking to my rating, 4.5. And Lada, do you have anything else to add now?
Well, just want to say that, of course, we'll be thinking of Eddie Van Halen these days, maybe play some more of their stuff. I think I want to dig deeper into the discography. I've been already listening to all my favorites the last couple of days. So it's a very sad occasion, but I hope that at least this episode will bring some nice memories to the fans and also help those who'd never heard Van Halen to know where they can start from and what they can expect from this kind of music. So hopefully Van Halen will reach even more listeners, because this is the band that definitely deserves something like that.
Okay, fair enough, Lada. Dear listeners, thanks a lot for tuning in yet again. We're happy to be back and rocking again. Please, if you want to support us, go visit our Patreon page, Soundrise Podcast. It's easy to find. Also, a huge welcome to our newest patron, Sini. Sini, thank you so much for supporting us. Welcome aboard. And yeah, you can support us for as little as $1 per month. That would mean a lot to us. Also, check out our social media accounts. The handle is Soundrise Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Till the next time, all the best and stay safe.
Write a review, and then you can share it
with the world in any social media platform.
And then your friends see it, and you can share and discover new shows together.
This is Steph, instigator of Pod Rev Day, Podcast Review Day.
And I'm Andy from Inspired Money.
And I'm Arielle of Earbuds Podcast Collective and CastBox.
We're here to tell you everything you need to know about Pod Rev Day,
which is on the 8th of every month of every year of every century of every, you get it.
We are posting podcast reviews as part of hashtag Pod Rev Day, Podcast Review Day.
Because podcasters work their butts off and deserve to know how much they've impacted your lives. And you can do that through reviews.
Even one star feels surprisingly good.
Does it?
It lets you know that people are at least listening.
Don't be a passive podcast listener. Write a review and tell your favorite creator what you love about their podcast or about a specific episode.
And to participate, you just need to do one review.
And we'll see you every 8th of the month.
Pod Rev Day, because podcasters deserve to hear it.
Hashtag
Pod Rev Day. PODREVDAY.